Oh, happy Easter, everyone. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Sure glad to be with you again in a very different way than I'm sure all of us are used to for Easter Sunday, but sure glad to have you all here and tuning in. Glad that you've seen many of you tuning in throughout the weeks, checking in on Facebook and YouTube. Great to have you. We are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and so we are ending our I Am series this week with I Am the Resurrection and the Life, and I Am the Way, the Truth, and the Life. So we're going to get right into it. Want to pray for us before we do that. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, thanks so much for all that you have done and how we can read through your words time and time again, and it just ministers to us in such a way that helps us to grow closer to you. We thank you for this time of year that we always remember what you've done for us. Help us to keep that fresh, even as this weekend ends and we move into the latter part of April. Lord Jesus, that we just thank you that you are the resurrection, you are the life, you defeated sin and death for us. And we are so ever grateful for that, and help us never to be ungrateful or apathetic about that. We commit all these things to you. We just give you thanks so much for this time to, even though we are scattered as a body, to be together in spirit. And we love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. We have a wonderful time as we come together. And I was just thinking of a story that I read some years ago about a father as he was driving along with his son. It was actually right before Easter Sunday. It was probably on the Saturday between Good Friday and Easter Sunday, and his son yelled from the back seat, "Look, Dad, one got out." And his dad was like, "What in the world?" And he turned his head, and there beside them as they were driving along was a cemetery with a hole in the ground with dirt beside it. And he said, "Dad, look again, one got out." And his dad laughed, and they had a good talk. But it's interesting to think that, yes, you know what? Jesus rose from the grave. He got out. He's no longer there. Of all the different religious leaders and different founders of different religions all throughout history, you can see where their bones are buried. You see where their tombstone is. But when you go to Israel, that grave is empty and will be forever. And we just are so grateful for that. One got out. Jesus got out, he rose and conquered death. He truly is risen. As we finish off our I Am series, just a quick review for us as we go through the last number of weeks. Jesus has described himself as the door, the good shepherd, the bread of life, the true vine, and the light of the world. And as we looked at last week, that light is such a powerful, powerful picture, and word picture that is used in Scripture. Places from the very beginning, verses of Genesis, all the way through to the end of Revelation. Wonderful thoughts. We were reminded of Jesus being our revealer, our restorer, our renewer in these days, and how he restored, renewed, and revealed himself to the woman caught in adultery, and how he restored her. What a wonderful story for us to think of. And today, the very bedrock of our faith, we learn of Jesus as the resurrection and the life. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to John chapter 11, verses 17 through 27. John 11, 17 through 27. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Do you believe this? It's interesting, even as Jesus is speaking to Martha here, we can get a sense that even though she's extremely sad, as any one of us would be in the death of a loved one, her brother Lazarus, that she knew that Jesus had great authority. She had seen him do other things throughout his ministry. Because Jesus is the Son of God and the Son of Man. I love her reaction and her faith revealed in verse 22. But I know that God will give you whatever you ask. That's faith. Wow. Jesus waited for his friend Lazarus to die. And it's kind of interesting to think about that. Would any of us wait as we, if we heard one of our friends or our close relatives or even a close family member was ill and on death's door, we often would try to go and be with them as soon as possible. But Jesus has his timing. And as the prophet Isaiah aptly said, that God's ways are higher than our ways and past finding out at times. And so Jesus waits. But he waited because he wanted to show a powerful foreshadow of his own death and resurrection. It was to bring glory to God, bring glory to himself, as we think about that. So he says to us, to Martha and to us today, whoever believes in me will never die. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? So that question echoes down through the centuries to us today in April of 2020. Do you believe this? So what does the resurrection of Jesus Christ mean to us today? There's a few items I want to bring to our attention. Why we believe that Jesus rose from the dead. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, the Christian faith is really a foolish fantasy. However, if the resurrection of Christ did occur, it confirms his life, his message, and the atoning work that he accomplished through the death, his death and resurrection. It is the basis of our hope that there is life beyond death. There's life beyond the grave. Christ is alive, and the evidence is truly overwhelming. Here are just a few reasons. Jesus predicted his resurrection in passages like Matthew 16:21 and Mark 9:9 and 10. The Old Testament prophesied it. The tomb was empty and the grave clothes vacant. If those who opposed Christ wanted to silence him, all they had to do was produce a body. But there was no body to produce because he had risen. Many people saw the resurrected Christ. We read of this particularly in a wonderful creed of the early church in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 8. I encourage you to read that this week. Talks, if you're a lawyer or you know a lawyer, boy, this passage is ironclad evidence of over 500 witnesses that saw Jesus after he rose from the grave. Wonderful. Isaiah, it's 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 8. And ultimately, many people saw the resurrected Christ, and the lives of the disciples were truly revolutionized. Though they had initially fled because of fear of the Jews, and Peter himself had denied Christ, they later feared no one, and their proclamation of the risen Christ was powerful. And the message of the early church truly was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And today, men and women testify to the power of the risen Christ that transforms their lives. We know that Jesus is alive not only because of the historical and biblical evidence, but he has miraculously touched our lives through the power of his word, through many different ways that he has intervened within our lives. We see him even very soon after his resurrection and his ascension, intervening in the life of a persecutor of the faith named Saul, who became Paul. What a wonderful encounter that was. And we have most of our New Testament because of that. One such modern-day encounter was a man by the name of Charles Colson, a man who made headlines back in the 1970s as part of the Watergate scandal under former President Richard Nixon. Charles Colson was sent to prison for being involved in that scandal. But during his prison time, he came to faith in Jesus Christ. And why was that? Well, one of his central reasons out of one of his books, he mentions that there are 12 men who were surrounded by Jesus and walked with him for 3.5 years. And then after that, after his death and his resurrection, they went and some wrote what we now know as the Gospels and some of the epistles. But these men were willing to be persecuted, willing to be imprisoned, willing to do and go the distance for this message that they had received and that they had experienced in their life. This truth was so real to them. So they were so passionate about it that they were willing to take on anything, and they did. And they died and were persecuted in many different ways, horrible ways. Whereas Charles Colson said, there is actually 12 men who were indicted in the Watergate scandal, that the truth, if it had popped up and hit them in the face, they wouldn't have known it. They would have not understood it. And they searched for it for 3 weeks, and they still couldn't find it. And he says, if 12 men can believe in one truth, one act, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and go the distance, I need to follow that same truth in my own life. And so he did. And many lives of prisoners across North America and the world have been changed because of prison fellowship ministries. So the resurrection of Jesus is a verifiable fact. What Jesus did in raising Lazarus from the dead shows that he has power over life and death, as well as to power to forgive sins. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus Christ himself is the creator. And that, what a wonderful thing one wonderful characteristic of Christ that we can think about today. We talked about that just a few weeks ago, about Jesus being the life. And we're going to mention it again a little bit here in John 14, as he talks about being the way, the truth, and the life. But the Greek word for life is zoe. Our life, existence, Jesus Christ, it says in Colossians chapter 1 that he holds all things together. In him is life. And he was there at the very beginning with our Heavenly Father creating life. Before Abraham was, I am. We read that in John chapter 8. He is the co-creator. So he who is life can surely restore life. Has your life been restored by Jesus Christ this week? As we go through these challenging times, we need life. We need perspective. We need that peace that only Christ can give. And I encourage you to continue to think on the things that I've just mentioned about him being the resurrection and the life. Do you believe that he is the resurrection and the life? I encourage you to look into this further. Turn with me now to John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6, a very, very familiar passage to us. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This passage reveals four things about Christ's message. One, death is real. We must not deny it. Two, heaven is real. We must desire it. Three, salvation is real. We must receive it. And fourth, Christ's return is real. We must expect it. So we'll walk through those briefly. Death is real. We must not deny it. You probably all heard, especially around this time of year, There's two things that are sure in life, death and taxes. Some of you are doing your taxes right now. Maybe you had them done. Woody Allen had this to say, I'm not so afraid to die, I just don't want to be there when it happens. Death will come to all of us because one out of one people die. Death is a reality, but how do we respond to this reality? Well, maybe like the military veteran in the United States named Ralph, there's a university professor who was invited to speak at a military base right near Christmas time. And he had an unforgettable meeting with the man who picked him up from the airport named Ralph. Ralph had been sent to meet him, and he met him at the baggage claim. As they walked down the concourse, Ralph kept disappearing periodically. Once to help an older woman whose suitcase had fallen open. Once to help two toddlers who were trying to get up on Santa's knee. Once again to give directions to someone who was lost. Each time he came back with a huge smile on his face. The professor asked him after they had gotten into his vehicle and were on their way, he said, where did you learn that? Ralph said, what? What do you mean, learn what? Where did you learn to live like that? Oh, Ralph said, during the war, I guess. And then he told the professor of his tour of duty in Vietnam and how it was his job to clear the minefields. Now he watched his friends blow up before his very eyes, one after the other. He says, I learned to live between steps. I never knew whether the next one would be my last. So I learned to get everything I could out of the moment between each step. And when I picked up my foot and I put it down again, I was grateful for that next breath. Every step I took was a whole new world. And I guess I've been living that way ever since. What a way to live. What do you think about that? Jesus is the resurrection and the life. We just were reminded of that. But that to think about living like Ralph did. Each and every day, seizing each and every moment, knowing that this life is short, that we need to be looking out for the needs of others. That's wonderful to see, even as I look on social media and what's happening around the world, and there is good that's coming out of this time of upheaval, and within our town, just different people doing different things. I encourage you to check out the story of Willow Creek Quilts on our Facebook page, and what a small little idea of a tote bag has turned out to be around the world. Wonderful to think of how we can think of others and meeting the needs of first-line workers and looking out for the needs of others. Even when we can't get close to them, we can still help. Well, Ralph knew how to live well in light of possible imminent death. We too can live this way by recognizing the death defeater. The death defeater. Who is that? Of course, his name is Jesus Christ. He defeated death. We can get excited about that, church. We can be passionate, be alive this Sunday and this week and the rest of this time that we are in our isolated period, that we can, even though we are avoiding and we are restricted, we can have that life because Jesus himself, we don't need to be afraid of death. Jesus died on the cross, as we remembered this past Friday, but he did not stay dead. And that is what we're celebrating today. Paul shares this fact when he says, since death came through a man, Adam in the garden, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. In Adam, we died to our relationship with God, and Jesus came back and bridged that relationship. We have to be excited about that. And I know sometimes for some of us as Christians, we've been Christians for a long, long time. We kind of forget a little bit. We come to this time of year, and it's kind of can be like going through the motions. But I encourage you, I exhort you, church, that as we walk through this very different time of Easter, that maybe we've never ever celebrated Easter in this way before, and sometimes it just maybe gets you down. Know one thing, that on that cross, Jesus felt in some way isolated, almost much more so than we do right now. He felt isolated from the Father as he cried out my God, why have you forsaken me? He can relate to us, church, and everyone who's watching. He can relate to you in your pain, in your depression, in your anxiety, in your isolation. He's been there too. He knows what you're going through. But he came back from death. Jesus Christ defeated death in order to give us eternal life. Alexander McLaren speaks of death this way. Death is but a passage. It is not a house. It is only a vestibule. Death is, for the Christian, is a doorway to heaven. So death is real. We must not deny it. Heaven is real. We must desire it. Tyrone Edwards says this, "This is the world of the dying. Next is the land of the living." I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to heaven. I'm looking forward to that time when I get to see my dad again, get to see many who have passed on before me again. What a hope we have. Jesus made us a promise, and Jesus never goes back on his promises one day to receive us. We can take comfort in these words. And in the words of Paul to the Thessalonians, in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 and 14, when he said, "Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so that we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him." We have hope, church. We have hope, the hope of heaven. How do we have this hope? Well, I love the way Vince Havner puts it. He says, "I haven't lost my wife, Sarah, because I know where she is. I haven't lost anything." And we don't lose anything when you know where it is. Death can hide, but death cannot divide. Death can hide, but death cannot divide. Heaven is real. We must believe it. Salvation is real. We must receive it. Thomas asked, essentially, how can we know the way into this wonderful hope? Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus was and is real, so the way to him must be just as real. Jesus was and is real, so the way to him must be just as real. If over 500 people saw him after his resurrection, he is real. His resurrection is a miraculous fact. It has taken place, and he is coming again. But we must receive and acknowledge that what he has done will change us, will give us the hope that we need now and for eternity. Jesus has provided a way into his presence in heaven, and that is through simply believing what he has done. Charles Haddon Spurgeon puts it this way, "He has gone to prepare a place for us by his presence and has prepared the way to that place by his providence." He has gone to prepare a place for us by his presence and has prepared the way to that place by his providence. Jesus left his home in heaven in order that we might have a home in heaven. Jesus is coming back for us. He's gone to prepare a place, but he's also coming back. Christ's return is real. We must expect it. We read these words in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good." Are we ready for his appearing? I pray that we are. There was a young man back in 1955 in Denver, Colorado, by the name of Paul Haley. And Paul Haley really loved President Dwight Eisenhower. He really loved politics. He was a young kid, but he just loved reading the paper and keeping up with the politics of the day. And he wrote in a letter to the local paper in Denver, Colorado, asking to see President David Eisenhower when he came to do a speech in Denver, Colorado. And this article actually got to the desk of the president through his aide. And the president looked at it, and he was quite intrigued by it. And just recently, Paul Haley had been diagnosed with cancer and really wanted to meet the president and wasn't sure if he was going to live long enough to do that. So President Eisenhower thought about this for a while and said to his aide, let's find out where this young man lives and visit him. So at 6:30 in the morning on a Sunday, the president walks up the walkway to the Haley household and knocks on the door. Sleepy-eyed and unshaven, David Haley, that would be Paul Haley's dad, comes to the door. And lo and behold, who is at the other side of the door but President Eisenhower? Quite the surprise, I'm sure. Well, they had his dad said, the president's here to see you. So they, and what a wonderful experience. The next day, the newspaper reporters came and knocked on the Haley household door and talked to his dad, David, and he said, what did you think of the president's visit? He said, I didn't really like it. He said, why? Well, I wasn't ready. I was still in my pajamas. I still hadn't shaved. I had morning breath. I don't know if he said morning breath, but anyway, he wasn't ready. Then they asked the opinion of his son, Paul, and his son, Paul, said he was ecstatic. He longed for that day, and he finally got to meet the President of the United States. While we probably will never meet the President of the United States or the Prime Minister of Canada, but are we prepared to meet Jesus Christ? Are we prepared for his return? Are we prepared at our deathbed to be ready to meet him? We must desire it. Salvation, we must receive it. Christ's return is real. We must expect it. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? May we say with Martha, yes, Lord, I believe that. I believe that. A heart that truly understands the magnitude of who Jesus is, that he is the door, the shepherd, the true vine, the true bread, the shepherd, the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth and the life, cannot help but live differently with such a sure foundation. So I certainly hope and pray for all of us that as we continue to look into who Jesus is and what he has done for us, that we would have that sure hope in him, that solid foundation. Let us pray. Jesus, you are the resurrection and the life. And I pray, Father God, that excitement and passion and just a continued assuredness and hope would rise up and take control of all of us as we continue to walk through these uncertain times. I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ, Faith Community Baptist Church, and all those who may be just tuning in, that this Easter Sunday would be one that would be unlike any other. And we know it will be unlike any other because we just haven't experienced it like this, maybe ever in our lives before. And that we would experience you, Jesus, your presence, your power, the truth of your word that goes deep within our minds, deep within our hearts, that would truly change the way we live. Help us to continue to have our eyes fixed upon who you say you are, so that we can show who you are to our family, our friends, to those around us in this community during this time. We praise you. We thank you. Thank you for being our risen Lord and Savior. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.